This is KCUR. I'm Gina Kaufman.
If you grew up in small town Kansas or Missouri, you probably went cruising back in the day. It was a way to see and be seen in rural communities where houses and the people who lived in them were spaced far apart. The New York Times reported on the death of cruising in 2008 due to heightened gas prices at the time. But are there kids out there still cruising today? And what's the meaning of this teenage rite of passage anyway? We sent KCUR's Andrea Tudhope on a drive to collect stories and find out.
Okay, so we're cruising, right?
We're cruising.
Kevin Smith was born and raised in Paola, Kansas, a small bedroom community of about 5,000. On a recent Saturday morning, he took me on a trip.
I don't spend a lot of time on the square anymore, and this brings back so many memories.
Imagine it's not 11 a.m., but 11 p.m. on a Saturday night in the mid-70s. I'm thinking we're in a 1966 Chevrolet Caprice, big block engine, four-speed manual transmission with built-in gauges and a vinyl interior. All is dark and quiet in the town of Paola, but the town square is lit with activity. It sounds and looks kind of like American graffiti. The stretch of road around the square is packed. Wall to wall, bumper to bumper, cars are crammed in, only to part for the occasional arrival of Paola's mayor and her notorious taxi cab. The air is heavy with exhaust, an illuminated cloud in the headlights. Someone in the back seat is cracking open a beer, or a Coca-Cola, and music is pouring out of open windows.
Now we're turning. We're going around the square, and I mean, we're doing about 3 miles an hour now, but if you could imagine doing a snail's pace.
This is the pace that you would go?
This is about the pace we would go sometimes, yes. And there were people going the opposite direction. You're waving, you might stop and talk, then you keep going, and it was just a way of life. And then there may be, you know, you stop and get directions to a keg party out on a farm. You know, there would be the kids who had snuck out. They know they're going to be grounded next weekend, but they're going to have fun this weekend. That was life on the square.
If you grew up in a small town between 1950 and 1990, this probably brings back some memories for you, too. Cruising, or dragging Maine, was a pivotal small-town American pastime, a ritual that involved driving a central stretch of road in loops. It was a rite of passage. Getting a driver's license or buying that first car indicated the time at last that a teen could finally start cruising. In Paola, it was the town square. In Blue Rapids, Kansas, it was the circular square known as the Squircle. In Dodge City, Kansas, the main drag was Wyatt Earp Boulevard.
Many of our parents would ask each other, how can a child put 100 to 200 miles on a car on a Friday night?
I mean, kids would even wait in line to slowly edge their way into the line of cars. Then they'd drive around over and over again.
In a lot of places where people cruise, they have their little group of friends, and you sort of know who you're going to be going out with, and you go out as a group.
KU American Studies professor Ben Chappell says American Graffiti depicted the classic cruising period. What that film made famous was the average way of life for teens in the second half of the 20th century. It has existed for many pockets of the population, namely in small towns, and taken up various forms over the years. Cruising has survived through generations, but why?
A lot of American national identity has been built around this idea of independence and individuality. And so, you know, when we talk about freedom in the United States, sometimes it is understood and reinforced as the freedom to move and to go places and go when you like. And so this is all part of a kind of ideology or almost like a national myth that has grown up around the car.
If cruising was an exercise of local and even individual identity, then Ben Chappell says the car was like a second skin.
By driving a certain car, you're sort of dressing yourself in a way. That, you know, people will notice that you're presenting a certain identity, you're presenting a certain kind of look.
It was a vehicle for taking your own intentional, personal, created space out into the public space. When we first met up on the square that Saturday in Paola, Kevin and I were talking when...
Look at that bald eagle.
Oh, wow.
You just never know what you're going to see on the square.
I'll admit, the eagle was a nice surprise. But to some extent, you in fact nearly always knew what you were going to see on the square or on that main drag of the boulevard. Parents knew where to find their kids. Because of proximity, population, bridge group, they even knew who you were dating and who you were dumping. Police were on duty, typically very close by. Of course, there were the basic traffic rules. And in a small town where your high school class is 50 to 100, you knew who you'd run into.
You always could plan on certain people being up there. It's just kind of a date night with all your friends.
Elaine Broker cruised in the early 80s and remembers it as something she could count on.
Friday night, if you wanted to see anybody or anything, that's where you went. You're just out having a good time. It's hard to imagine that you could sit in your car and drive around and have a good time like that. It's more strange to think that kids don't do it now, though. I mean, it's like, what do they do?
Around the time Elaine outgrew it, Mark Slauson started cruising around in his 72 Ford Elite. He's tried explaining the activity to his kids, but they don't get it.
You sat there and you drove around the square for 3 hours. And I said, yeah. They both say that's stupid.
Mark and Elaine's classes were some of the last to cruise in Paola. In the early 90s, the police began to enforce new rules. You could still cruise, but only two or three times around, or you'd get a ticket. So cruising died in Paola, and the teenagers fled. But Mark says things were safer before.
I wish they could go back to cruising. I wish they could go to the square and hang out with their friends rather than going to house parties that I don't know, trying to elude the police.
While older residents of Paola are scratching their heads over the demise and dissolution of cruising, there are still towns where cruising is alive and well. Like Blue Rapids, a town of 1,000 just north of Manhattan.
And every once in a while, still now, you grab a couple of girlfriends and go for a drive, you know, just to visit and catch up.
Even Dina O'Toole and her friend Jackie Woodyard, who both have teenage children of their own now, still cruise around the circle.
Get out of the house for a little bit sometimes, just, you know, 10 minutes up and around and back, mm-hmm. and check on my daughter who's on the square, you know, wave at her, embarrass her a little bit, and head home.
Take you back for a little bit.
Yeah.
Jackie's 17-year-old son, Logan, is in the peak of his cruising years, and it's as pivotal to him as it was to past generations. His cousin Blake is in college now, but remembers it well.
Do you remember when you were kids seeing other people cruising?
Yes, I do. I remember.
You drive around the square with your parents at night, and there'd just be a bunch of kids on the front of the post office hanging out.
Did it seem weird to you?
No, just because I already knew, like, that's where they hung out. Just got told that.
We're just waiting your turn.
Yeah.
My first time, I showed up to the square one night. There was something going on outside of town, and I was like, what's going on? They're like, just jump in. So I jumped in the car with Bailey Bocek, actually. Dad saw me jump in, and he called me. He goes, what are you doing? Heading outside of town. He goes, yeah, I know, I saw you. Get back to the square. So in other words, Bailey said I could no longer ride with her ever again.
Things are pretty regulated on the square these days, but older generations boast about cat and mouse games with the cops, cruising the square backwards, coasting in neutral from a nearby hilltop to see how many times you could make it around, even circling 350 times until the sheriff has to escort you home. Hearing these stories, Logan told me that he wished he could have grown up back then. For him, now, cruising is just a way of life. It's just, unquestionably, the thing that you do. On my way out of town, I decided to cruise myself. It was a short circle, a little dizzying, honestly. I saw the post office, auto shop, empty buildings that used to house movie theaters and taverns. And I saw Blake and Logan, sitting in the back of Logan's truck, their hands in a bag of chips as they watched me cruise. It made me think about the spectacle of it. What it means to watch something, to pay attention to something that from the outside seems, frankly, mundane. American Studies professor Ben Chappell says it's anything but.
There are little trivial activities that might not make the newspaper. People might not talk about them a whole lot. But once you get to know people who are involved in these things, whether it's a particular sports pickup game or the cruising or, you know, some part of their routine, you find out that it's actually very, very important to people and it's a central part of their lives.
Back in Paola, Kevin embarks on the final loop and remembers the goodbye ritual.
All right. Okay, let me get another beer. I thought she was going to be up here tonight. I didn't get to talk to her. I was going to ask her if she wanted to go out.
It may be hard to imagine driving in circles for hours on end in a time like the present, when public space and gathering exists at the tip of your fingers in the pixels of your screen. But before there were devices that diminished the physical distances between, there were cars. And with a car, you could go anywhere, even a block from your house, even in circles.
And so then you'd finally actually step on the gas pedal and drive a normal speed home, huh?
Normal speed home, yes. 25 to 30 miles an hour and go home. That was it.